Welcome to Voluntary Values on the Liberty Radio Network. This is Daryl.
This is Emberly.
This is Liam.
You can watch the webcam online, chat with Emberly on LRN.FM. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/voluntaryvalues. And, of course, go to the website voluntaryvalues.com. And we are live here every Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Liberty Radio Network. And we don't normally discuss election-related topics
on
this show. Although, it was about a month ago when we had Gary Chartier on, and he talked about the Vote for Nobody campaign.
He did.
And this past Tuesday, here in Keene, New Hampshire, the lovely Emberly moderated a candidates forum in which several of the candidates actually advocated voting for no one for president.
Yes.
And there was a straw poll during this forum, and Noda actually won the straw poll for president.
Yes, Noda did win.
And then some libertarian candidates had very strong showings for other races.
Right. So John Babiar showed up. He was the only gubernatorial candidate to show up to the forum. And then Hardy Mesha also showed up. He's running for U.S. Congress.
Yes. And then Free Talk Live's very own
right.
Ian Freeman is running for state rep here in Keene. He won his straw poll.
He did. He did. And Daryl, you won your straw poll.
Yes, I did.
For Register of Deeds. And I believe you tied with Noda for the other
Register of Probate.
Probate. That's the one.
Which has no candidates running for it.
Nope.
The one candidate who had filed for the office, because she's a member of the Democratic Party, she was able to switch offices after the primaries.
Oh, yeah.
So she withdrew from the Register of Probate election, jumped into the Register of Deeds election. And because I'm running as a libertarian, I was not able to do that.
Well, isn't that just some craziness?
Yes. So I am asking people to write me in for Register of Probate. And I would also like the vote for Register of Deeds. I know I can't win both offices, or, I can't hold both offices.
Well, doesn't the Register of Probate really have no duties?
Has no duties. All of those duties were eliminated in 2010.
So that's why Anna Tilton has changed and is running for...
Anna Tilton actually sued the state of New Hampshire.
Oh, Lord.
Seeking $70,000 in back pay because all of her duties were eliminated and her salary was reduced to $100 per year.
Aw, yes. So she's going to sue the state because in an effort to save money, or would it be the county? Is she actually suing the county?
It's actually the state because...
So the state legislature were the ones that eliminated the position.
The state legislature, when they reorganized the courts here in New Hampshire, they eliminated all of the duties from the registers of probate.
So that's all registers of probate?
Yes.
Oh, well, good for them.
Yes.
Eliminating government waste one job at a time.
And I'm actually running on a platform of I want to see the same thing happen to the Register of Deeds office.
Yes.
To see it eliminated to save taxpayers even more money. So one candidate has been in office for 38 years. The other candidate is suing the state, seeking a large amount of money. And the third candidate wants to eliminate the position.
I say vote for the third candidate, and that would be Daryl Perry.
Yes. So if you live in Cheshire County, I would ask for your
which
vote.
I don't. So unfortunately, I live in Hillsborough County, but, I don't vote anyway, so it wouldn't really work, even though I am registered. Well, not really registered, but... what is it? I'm a write-in candidate for vice president of the United States, and I hear I have a new running mate that Dale is not able to be my presidential running mate.
The new write-in presidential candidate for the New Hampshire Liberty Party is Bob Nota Robertson.
Awesome. I hope you're listening, Mr. Bob Nota Robertson, and welcome to the do-nothing campaign for president and vice president.
And the Secretary of State of New Hampshire has actually been notified of the slate of electors for the New Hampshire Liberty Party, as well as notified of the state and federal law that specify that all write-in votes must be counted and requested that all votes for Robertson, McCullough, Noda, or Liberty be counted towards that slate of electors.
Now, what happens if they spell my name wrong? Because my McCullough is not like most of the McCulloughs out there. You know, most McCulloughs have O-U-G-H, and I only have I-G-H.
That will be very interesting to see.
So that might be an issue, because most people are familiar with the O-U-G-H form of McCullough. Even though there's three different versions of McCullough, the O-U-G-H, the I-G-H, and the O-C-H.
I was not aware of that.
And there's an A-C-H, too.
Oh,
so
wow.
Actually, there's four. I was wrong.
The reason that we brought up elections is the candidates forum that we had here in Keene, 27 candidates from three different parties were invited.
Yes.
Everyone that is a state rep candidate within the city of Keene, everyone who's a candidate for any countywide office in Cheshire County, the congressional candidates from U.S. District 2, as well as all three of the gubernatorial candidates were invited. New Hampshire has this thing called an executive council. I did not invite those candidates because most people don't really know what the executive council does.
Mm.
And I didn't expect that either of those candidates would attend anyway.
Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't heard of a state having an executive
council.
New
Hampshire is the only state that does.
Well,
it's a holdover from colonial days.
I'm going to have to look into that.
The executive council is in some ways sort of like an extension of the executive branch.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't really have as much of a check over the governor as they once did. But they do, as far as my understanding, like justices of the peace have to be, you know, they get their permission from the executive council, and notaries and other sort of licensing sort of things are handled through there. And then something with the budget. I believe the budget has to be passed not only through the state house, the state senate, and signed by the governor, but somehow the executive council also has to sign off on this thing.
Yeah.
There's only five seats for the entire state, so it is a very important position, but most people aren't familiar with what they are, and I didn't think that either of the candidates would show up. But anyway, 27 candidates from three parties were invited. Nine candidates showed up.
Yeah. And
which is one-third, which is a very good turnout.
Yes, it is, actually.
And compare that to the presidential debates that are hosted by the Commission on Presidential Debates, which is actually an extension of the Republican and Democratic parties.
Mm-hmm.
There are 27 candidates on the ballot in at least one state. There are four candidates on the ballot in enough states to theoretically win the Electoral College.
Wow.
The two major, Obama, Romney. Gary Johnson is on all but two state ballots. He's a write-in candidate in Michigan. He is not on the ballot in Oklahoma, and Oklahoma does not allow write-ins.
Oh, my.
Jill Stein is the other candidate
from the Green Party.
Enough ballots to theoretically win. So the CPD, they only invite the two major candidates. Well,
and for the CPD, that's the Council on Presidential Debates.
The Commission on Presidential
Debates. Sorry, not Council.
The Gary Johnson campaign actually got very creative recently.
Yeah.
And this is an article from Ballot Access News. On October 18th, Gary Johnson and his campaign sued the CPD, charging that he is being illegally kept out of the debates because he meets the requirements. The Commission on Presidential Debates has kept Johnson out because they claim that he does not meet the 15% polling rule. The rule does not specify which candidates must be included in the polls. I'll finish this coming up in the next segment. And you will be very interested to find out what sort of trickery Gary Johnson is up to.
Nice.
This is Voluntary Values. welcome back to Voluntary Values. This is Daryl.
This is Everly.
This is Liam.
And we've been talking about the presidential election, and actually just elections in general. And at the end of that last segment, I was telling you about some creative tactics being used by the Gary Johnson campaign to try to get included into the CPD debates. And CPD is the Commission on Presidential Debates. They've been the one that has run the presidential debate since 1988.
Hmm.
So they're keeping him out because they say that he does not meet the 15% polling rule. However, the rule does not say which set of candidates must be in the polls. So Gary Johnson, in late September and early October, commissioned five national polls in which respondents were asked if they preferred President Obama or Gary Johnson. In all five polls, Gary Johnson easily exceeded 15%. And Ballot Access News lists these five polls. The first was done by Gravis Marketing. President Obama received 45%, Gary Johnson received 34%, and other responses, which would be volunteered responses,
right,
were 21%. The second poll done by a group called NSON asked if people liked Obama, Johnson, or someone else. Obama received 54%, Johnson 23%, other responses received 23%. Research Now did a poll in which Gary Johnson received 26%, other responses 22%, and Obama 52%. Taluna did a poll in which the respondents could not say that they preferred someone else. It was just Obama or Johnson. Obama got 54%, Johnson received 46%, and the fifth poll done by USAMP showed President Obama with 63%, Gary Johnson with 37%, and respondents could not say someone else.
Right.
So, you know, this is very creative. Commission your own polls, make up your own list of candidates, and say, see, we meet the criteria. Well, the CPD rules just say that the candidate must be at or above 15% when five different national polls are averaged. And under the literal language, Johnson qualifies. The case is Johnson v. Commission on Presidential Debates from U.S. District Court 1:12-CV-1711. And you can find this on Ballot Access News, which is ballot-access.org. And one of the commenters on this poll actually said that in 2006, a gubernatorial candidate from Florida by the name of Max Lynn tried a similar tactic when he was excluded from debates in Florida, where the poll said that he had to be at above at least 7%. He commissioned his own poll using his own money. Apparently, he was a millionaire. So
must be nice.
Yeah, he commissioned his own poll, sued the TV station, and actually he lost.
And it just goes to show you that even if you go out and do what the CPD says and you follow all the rules, or even the states, I mean, you go out and you follow their rules and you do exactly what they ask you to do, they still exclude you.
Well, one thing that I would have liked to have seen from Gary Johnson on this poll, instead of listing Obama and Johnson, why not list Jill Stein and Gary Johnson? That way, both candidates would then meet the requirement.
Right. Well, how about all four candidates? I mean, why exclude Mitt Romney?
Here's the thing. If four candidates are listed, and it's Romney, Obama, Johnson, and Stein, then Johnson and Stein aren't going to meet the 15% requirement.
So he should have just done one that was just him and Jill Stein.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That would have been even better.
That way, he should have done five that way.
Mm-hmm.
That way, him and Stein could both be in the debates. But I've seen a lot of stuff being put out recently by the Libertarian Party in which it shows Johnson, Romney, and Obama and says, here's all three presidential candidates.
So the Libertarian Party is also dishonest. Right. They're excluding the Green Party candidate. And there are plenty of other candidates.
What about the Constitution Party candidate who is one state shy of 50% of the electoral votes?
Mm.
Rocky Anderson, who, when you include the states where he's a certified write-in, he's
this is kind
really
of unfair
close.
Because you know way more about current electoral politics than I do, since I don't participate in the political system.
Well, and I only mention those two because on Tuesday, a group called Free and Equal will be hosting a debate, which will air on Al Jazeera and Link TV. It will be in Chicago. Larry King will be the moderator of this debate. Six candidates were invited. Four have agreed to attend.
All right. So who? I'm sure Gary Johnson and Jill Stein will be there.
Yes.
Who is the one from the Constitution Party?
Virgil Good.
That's right.
Rocky Anderson will attend. Take a wild guess which two candidates that were invited are not attending.
Oh, my goodness. Would that be Barack Obama and Mitt Romney?
Yes.
Why? When they get three debates all to themselves where they get to exclude everyone else. So
they were invited to an inclusive debate and they refused to attend.
Think about it. I haven't really watched any of the presidential debates. Now, I used to be an avid fan of watching these kinds of things, but I don't do it anymore. And I will tell you, I've chosen to watch other things that I have found much more interesting and much more valuable to my time. But I have read a lot of the feedback and seen a lot of the tweets and, read some of the articles about the debates and seen some news on the debates. And I have to say that there is a good reason why I'm sure neither of these candidates want to show their faces at an event where, there's going to be other parties there, because Mitt Romney and Barack Obama basically sound exactly the same. They say exactly the same things.
Yes.
They very, very, their opinions vary so little that it would be a stark contrast to see them up against, say a Gary Johnson or a Rocky Anderson or a Jill Stein.
Well, and I'm sure you remember the debates from 1992 where Ross Perot was actually included in the debates.
Right. That was the first presidential election I could ever vote in.
And Ross Perot actually brought in a lot of topics and ideas that were not being discussed by the two major candidates.
And they're afraid of these things.
That's why they don't want
to see other candidates come in and talk about the war or,
the economy
or be critical of all the rhetoric that's going on about Iran.
Right.
Or Syria, the whole Syria and Turkey thing that's going on right now, or the fact that the UN just got the stupid, useless Nobel Peace Prize, which is completely ridiculous because I watch, RT and Al Jazeera.
It was actually
and press.
The EU, not the UN.
I mean, the EU. I do apologize. They're both political organizations. I get them confused.
Right.
I do apologize. It was the EU. And, what's funny is
slightly less tyrannical.
When I'm watching the news, like all of these people, all the citizens of these countries are rioting against their governments. Yet the EU as a whole still gets the Peace Prize. Ridiculous.
Well, that's why I created the FPP Peace Prize. You can vote at peaceprize.fpp.cc.
Do it.
We'll be right back on Voluntary Values. Welcome back to Voluntary Values on the Liberty Radio Network. You can chat with Amberly and watch the webcam live on LRN.fm. This is Daryl.
And this is Amberly.
And this is Liam.
Liam has been the quiet one. I'm sure he will have words to say later. We told him during the break, jump in at any time, and he says, I have no clue what this election stuff is. Which, that's okay, because you aren't required to know what the election stuff is.
Yeah.
And, I'll also cut you a break because you're not of voting age.
Yeah.
So you're not yet at that age to where you have this obligation upon you to decide the fate of mankind by putting a suggestion slip into a box.
Oh, don't worry. You will feel the pressure very soon. As soon as you turn 18, everyone will want you to vote. Except your mother.
But only vote for our candidates.
Right. Don't vote for someone else.
If you're going to go vote for that other guy,
Definitely.
And what was it that the one candidate said at the forum this past Tuesday when asked about fair ballot access, that third-party candidate still votes from the person that would most likely win?
Stealing votes. So you don't get a choice. So it's all about A or B. There is no C.
Right.
So, you know, you get warmonger here and warmonger here.
And
raise your taxes here. Raise your taxes here.
And if you vote for the candidate that says, I want to cut your taxes, then you just threw the election to the person that is more
right.
Bad.
So a vote for, so, you know, if you're foolish enough to vote for Gary Johnson
or Jill Stein, or Virgil Goode, or Rocky Anderson,
right.
Then or
you
Tom
are,
Hoffling, or
according
any of the
to,
other 27
you know,
candidates.
Either campaign, you're throwing away your vote to whichever A or B is talking to you at that moment.
Right. And I've turned that objection around on people before and said, wait a second, who did you vote for in the last presidential election? And they would say, the guy that came in second, like whoever that might be, you know, McCain or and 04 John Kerry or Al Gore. Okay, so based on your logic of I didn't vote for the winner, so I wasted my vote. You didn't vote for the winner either. Did you waste your vote? And they have no response.
Aww. So, but they can yell at people who vote for third party candidates
right.
all day long.
Well, and I've also turned the question around and said, okay, let's assume that we're going to this ice cream place that has 31 flavors.
I love ice cream.
Do you order the ice cream that is most popular, which would be either chocolate or vanilla, or do you order the flavor that's more exotic that you like the best?
I order whatever I like that is the best.
Well, then you're throwing away your ice cream vote.
Aw. So I guess I better go back and get either chocolate or vanilla.
Right.
Can because I get a mixture of both?
Yes, and that we would call that bipartisanship.
Can I? And that way I'm like covering all my bets. And so technically, like if I decided to vote in the election this year, I could vote for Barack Obama to be president and Paul Ryan to be vice president. Oh, wait, you can't do that.
No. Right. Because the way
that truly be bipartisan if we had a Democrat president and a Republican.
Oh, no, not that. You mean like how it was but. Before the 12th Amendment was ratified, where the runner-up became vice president?
That's the way it should be.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I was younger. Always the second place came in vice president.
And something else that I've advocated is proportional allocation of electors.
So you kind of want to adopt the European way, how the Europeans do it by representational, proportional representation.
Somewhat.
Well, I do think if you're going to have a representative democracy, that if that's the form of government that you choose, as most of you know, I advocate for zero government. I can own myself and do what I want. Anyway, if you're going to have a government.
But as a realist, since it
right,
does exist.
You know, if you're going to go that route, then what is more representative of the diverse population of the United States. I mean, there's 300 million people in this country, and you can't tell me, because I know for sure that they don't easily fit into one of the two molds of
right.
Republican or Democrat. So, you know, it's ridiculous to think that we shouldn't have a proportional democracy, you know, where you know, the Green Party gets, you know, some people in Congress and the Libertarian Party gets some people in Congress based on a proportion ratio.
Even the way they do it in Canada and the UK. Go ahead. What caused
we have some people on the chat that said that they're saying Donald Duck would have been a bad president and that Scrooge McDuck has their vote. I guess that was being discussed on FTL last night.
Nice. Okay, so the way they do the House of Commons in Canada and the UK.
Right.
They use what they call ridings, which would be similar to our congressional districts. And, you know, they use what is called winner take all or first past the post. So if there's five candidates in the district and the top vote getter gets 32%, that person wins the seat. So even with a very similar system of electing members of parliament to the House of Commons, the UK and Canada consistently have five parties in their parliament because they have fair ballot access, where every candidate right. has the same path to the ballot.
Well, you know, in college, I studied political science, and proportional democracy has its own set of disadvantages,
right.
as well as what we call representative democracy here right. in the United States.
That's why I said proportional allocation of electors.
Right.
That way, each state would still decide their elector, but they would be proportional. So let's just go back and look at the 2000 election for just a second.
Oh, do we have to?
Where George Bush won Florida by 537 votes based on the official certified vote tally. Whether, you know, you can argue
I'm not even going to say anything.
You can argue all day long whether the certified vote tally was correct or not. But based on the certified vote tally, he won by 537 votes. If Florida's electoral votes were allocated proportionally, he would have received just under half. Al Gore would have received just under half.
Mm-hmm.
And Ralph Nader would have received one or two.
Mm-hmm.
So if every state did that, California, where Al Gore won with, I think, 55 or 60% of the vote,
mm-hmm.
he would have received 55 or 60% of the electoral votes. Bush
and
would have received another amount.
You're
and
right.
And then Nader in the 2000 election, had all electoral votes been allocated proportionally, Ralph Nader would have held the balance. It would have thrown the presidential election to the U.S. House of Representatives to decide who is the new president.
Right. I do believe that if you're going to have a system like we do, that you should have fair ballot access for all parties. It's almost criminal that yes. they exclude other people. Because what they're doing is they're cutting out whole swaths of society. You know, people who don't agree with the big R or the big D.
Right.
And there's a lot of people that are like that. And it's not just us apathetic people who don't give a crap anymore, who don't want to participate in the system. You know, I mean, we're a small minority, I believe.
Yeah. There are actually a handful of states that have fair ballot access for everyone. And two states that come to mind that have fair party ballot access: Vermont, which neighbors New Hampshire.
Beautiful state.
As long as the party is organized, meaning that they have a slate of party officers and file regular paperwork with the state saying this is how much money we've raised or spent,
right.
they're automatically on the ballot.
That's good.
And they generally have no more than five candidates for any statewide office.
Oh, yes. That's debunking the argument that some people have.
Mississippi has had the same ballot access law since 1890, and they only have five candidates on the ballot for president. We'll come back and hopefully talk about something other than an election here on Voluntary Values. Welcome back to Voluntary Values with Daryl, Emberly, and Leo. Almost forgot your name there for a second, and I didn't forget you were there. I almost called you Leah, but I know that's not right. Liam is Emberly's son, and we will be talking to him more at the beginning of next hour. And for the most part, we've been spending this hour talking about elections, election laws, and presidential debates.
Right, and outside of the last, was it the last debate, I believe it was,
yes.
at the Hofstra
the
University?
One on the 16th.
Right, at Hofstra mm-hmm. University. Jill Stein was actually arrested prior to the debate.
And
because,
I believe this is the second time she's been arrested during this presidential campaign.
That would make two times? Well, good for her. I mean, practicing civil disobedience and is good.
Just before you went to Philadelphia over the summer, Jill Stein was arrested for protesting Fannie Mae.
Oh,
she was
part
of a sit-in
right.
inside the Fannie Mae building.
That's right. I remember
her
that.
And her running mate were both arrested for defiant trespass.
Wow. Defiant protest.
Defiant trespass.
Trespass.
Yes.
Wow. Mm.
So tell us more about this arrest of Jill Stein outside of the CPD debate.
All right. So according to Stein's campaign press statement, Stein and running mate Sherry Hunkala joined supporters outside the Hofstra campus at 2 p.m., where Stein declared, quote, "We are here to bring the courage of those excluded from our politics to this mock debate, this mockery of democracy." When they started to walk onto the debate grounds, they were stopped by police officers, and then the two women sat down on the ground. Student-run news organization Long Island Report posted a video of Stein and Hunkala sitting with an officer arguing, "You're blocking traffic." After Hunkala stated, "We want to practice our First Amendment rights," the police can be seen removing the women from the ground and leading them away. According to the campaign, Stein and Hunkala were then arrested. Press contact Glenn Turner confirmed to HuffPost that Stein was arrested and as of early Tuesday evening was still in jail, charged with disorderly conduct. Earlier in the day, Stein told Philadelphia Weekly that despite some butterflies in the stomach, quote, "We are prepared to be arrested in the service of democracy and a future that serves us all." Stein advocates have been upset over her exclusion from the main debates. According to Politico, quote, "The Bipartisan Commission on Presidential Debates stipulates that a candidate must garner at least 15% in national polls in order to participate." Stein supporters have expressed disillusionment with mainstream candidates, while many environmentalists have grown frustrated over the climate silence permeating much of the campaign scene. Then it goes on to talk about she's expected to be listed on 85% of the ballots and is planning to participate in an upcoming debate with Libertarian Party presidential candidate Gary Johnson.
And that's the free and equal debate that is this Tuesday, I believe, at 7 p.m.
I will be watching that one. I think that that's an important... It's important to be for people to see that there are more than two choices. I mean, wouldn't that be horrible if we only had two choices of cars, two choices of universities, two choices of, you know, colors, two choices of ice cream, two choices of this? Pick anything and tell me how you would like if you only had two to choose from.
And not just any two, but the worst two.
Right.
So think of the absolute worst two. The only cars you can purchase are a 1972 Pinto and a what was the Chevere, the one unsafe at any speed.
Those
two cars are the only two cars that you can purchase.
So you can die in this one or you can die in that one.
You can die in a fiery crash or you can die in a fiery crash. You have no other options.
But you
and
have
if you try
two
to build
arbitrary
your own
choices.
Car, then you're just wasting your time and wasting your vote on automobile.
And you're taking money away from those two companies that make those two other fiery crash cars.
And how dare you try to use horse and buggy?
Well, you know, kudos to Jill Stein and her running mate, Sherry Hunkala. You know, kudos to them for standing up for their rights and the rights of, what, 300 million people that live in this country to have the ability to see other candidates talk.
It's a shame that Stein did not get enough signatures to get on the ballot here in New Hampshire.
That is a shame because we do, you know, even though I don't vote, I believe that, you know, people that do vote should have the option to, you know, choose whomever they would want to, you know. So I know that, Daryl, you put Bob Robertson and I on the ballot,
not on the ballot,
but as write-in candidates for the NH Liberty Party. So it's sad that, you know, if you support Jill Stein, then I suggest you go out and you put Jill Stein, you write her in as a candidate.
Yes.
I mean, you write her in. I mean, stand up for what you believe in, even if I disagree.
I do not agree with Jill Stein on all of the issues, but I actually signed the petition to
try to get her
on the ballot here in New Hampshire.
Well, if you believe in fair ballot access, that means you believe in every party. I mean, not believe in every party, but that you're standing up for their rights.
Everyone should be on the ballot.
Right. Even those disagreeable parties that we absolutely loathe and, you know, make the hair on the back of our neck stand up. We still have to allow free access to everyone.
I probably agree with Barack Obama more than I agree with Merlin Miller, but I believe that Merlin Miller should be on the ballot.
Wait, I don't know who Merlin Miller is.
He's a white supremacist from America's third position.
Oh, like I was saying, he should still be on the ballot.
Yes.
And then we could send a resounding no to him.
So if you're interested in the debate that's coming up this Tuesday, go to freeandequal.org, and they actually have links of where you can watch that online, as well as telling you.
I'm actually going to post that on our Voluntary Values page and website, so that people can have access to that article or that website to go on and have that available.
And I know there's talk about C-SPAN possibly covering this.
That would be wonderful if C-SPAN did.
Al Jazeera has already confirmed to be covering.
And you can find Al Jazeera on
TV.
Al Jazeera's, you know, you can just type in their website and go to Al Jazeera and get it there. Or you can also get it on ZahiStation.com. That's Z-A-H-I Station. You can get Al Jazeera there as well.
And I will most likely be watching this from the live stream on the website. I've already confirmed that I want access to the live stream.
And that's on the
freeandequal.org.
Freeandequal.org. Great.
Yeah, they're, I believe, going to either be using Ustream or YouTube to live stream the event.
Nice.
And various media outlets that cover alternative parties.
Good.
Will be live blogging and live tweeting the event.
Maybe we'll get better tweets than we got. Hopefully, you know, people will be tweeting about substance and not about the
binders
of women. I mean, yeah. I heard so much about that statement that I actually just stopped watching television that day because I didn't want to hear any more about binders of women.
And Free and Equal has actually come up with a hashtag for anyone that uses Twitter.
Nice.
To where you can tweet questions hoping that Larry King will ask your question.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So instead of just moderator and candidate approved questions, where the CPD, they basically send the campaigns a list of questions and say, which ones do you agree with being asked? And then only the questions that both candidates agree to will get asked. On this, they're actually allowing people to tweet. And I believe the hashtag is AskEmLarry. Not ask them, just ask EM Larry. You can double check that by going to the Free and Equal website. I read over the press release. I think it was either this morning or last night. But yeah, I am fully in favor of including alternative candidates and alternative ideas in debates. And there are times when being included in the debate actually has caused a candidate to win.
Yes.
Most notably when Jesse Ventura was elected governor of Minnesota. Before the election, he was polling 10%.
Wasn't that quite the upset?
He was allowed in the debates, and he won the gubernatorial election with 37% of the vote. I can guarantee you, had he not been in the election, he would have not polled 10% during the actual election.
Right, because no one would have been able to see him. I mean, the whole point of them excluding people from the debates
is
to exclude ideas and alternative voices. So, you know, kudos to Minnesota for, you know, including him in the debate. And by doing that, you know, a lot of people were then aware of this other person, you know, right. And, you know, Jesse did a great job from what I've heard as governor of Minnesota and has gone on to have a very lucrative career, you know, outside of politics. So good for him. Good for him.
And this is the end of the first hour of the show.
Awesome.
So we'll be back after the news break here with the second and final hour of the show here on Voluntary Values. Welcome back to Voluntary Values. This is Daryl.
Kimberly.
Liam.
And this is the final hour of the show. Hour number two here on the Liberty Radio Network. You can give us a call if you're listening live on Sunday between 3 and 5 p.m. Call in at 603-435-1105. And Kimberly, you have a very special important announcement, correct?
I do. Hey, listeners, have you heard about Taryn P. Lupo's new book, One Nation Under Blood? When a rejuvenative blood technology is developed that pits the young against the old, the government must take firm steps to address the war of supply and demand brewing across generational lines. Blood is not the only thing bought and sold in this dystopian tale of technology, economics, and independence. Vampires are now very real, but we never expected them to wear our grandmother's best Sunday dress. You can find it at any major online retailers on Halloween.
Ooh.
And Taryn will actually be on our show next Sunday, the 28th.
The 28th day of October in the 2012th year of our Lord, according to the Gregorian calendar.
Oh, my.
Which is actually probably off by 7 years, just so you know.
Well, and we have a special guest in the studio with us today. My lovely son, who is back from a trip to Virginia, where he just spent the last 3 months with his grandmother and my aunt. And he's going to tell us a little bit about what he experienced being a voluntarist in a, what you would call, very statist.
Oh,
home.
Yes. Yeah, very.
So,
very
Liam,
close to what Derek J. Freeman refers to as Mordor on the Potomac.
Right?
you weren't too terribly far from D.C., right?
No. No, it wasn't.
Nope, he wasn't very far at all, about an hour away.
Yeah. I was planning on a visit with them, but she didn't plan on going, didn't have funds or whatever, and it was a pretty interesting experience. She knew I was a voluntarist, and she didn't very, very like it much at all. We didn't talk about it very often, but when we did, we clashed very hard. We talked about the Middle East war and everything, and it was a very interesting experience. Very.
Didn't she? You know, we're not going to tell it, you know, say anybody's name on the air, but she, my aunt, who Liam was staying with, she actually works for the FBI.
Yes.
And what did she give you?
She gave me the
behavioral science unit.
Yes. Yes, she did.
She gave Liam a coin from the FBI's behavioral science unit. You know, the famous one from Silence of the Lambs.
I never saw that movie.
Well,
I'm familiar with it.
You know,
the
young FBI agent goes into the behavioral science unit and she goes to talk to Hannibal Lecter.
Okay.
That's what she was from. Yeah. And so Liam's showing me this coin yesterday.
What
on
is
our,
the coin made of?
It is, I say, aluminum with plastic over it. It's very...
It's pretty, but yeah. It wasn't even made in the United States.
No, it wasn't.
Where was it made?
Where was it? Like Taiwan or something
Korea.
Like that? Korea?
Wow. North or south?
Did not say.
It did not say. So let's, you know, hope it was from North Korea. That would be something else, wouldn't it?
You know, put those. Well, that's just providing jobs for the poor, starving North Koreans.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And they're only poor and starving. Well, there's multiple reasons why they're poor and starving. The fact that there's a tyrannical government in place doesn't help, but there's blockades.
Oh, I just have to say that I love the people.
Korea.
I love the people that are on the chat. They make me giggle. They're very funny. And
are people making fun of me again?
No, they're actually making fun of me, saying that I don't like Italian cars, apparently. And then somebody put, it puts the lotion on its skin or it gets the hose again, which is a very famous line from Silence of the Lambs.
So why don't you like Italian cars?
I didn't know I didn't like Italian cars. I was just told I don't. So apparently, you know, don't tell me what to do. You don't own me. I can do what I want and like what I want.
Alrighty then. Okay, so Liam, tell us more about the North Koreans that you'd spent time with. I mean, the FBI agents that got supplies from the North Korean government.
She's actually technically not working. She's not an FBI agent. She subcontracts from the FBI.
Yes.
She works with, I mean, there are FBI agents at her job. At what she works for a defense contractor.
Yeah. She works on helicopters. Well, used to.
Right.
Used to.
Black Hawk down.
Yeah, Black Hawk Down. Great movie, by the way.
That's what she worked on, Black Hawks.
Yep. And Apaches and a few other things. But, you know, let's talk about some of her, you know, we discussed this yesterday, her cognitive dissonance. Remember when we talked about that?
Yeah. She has a lot of peace signs all over the place. She believes that she's a hippie, you know, she's a hippie from everything, but she's such a warmonger, and she's just, it's crazy how she just believes one thing and says another. It's crazy.
Right. And she doesn't want to hear anything, anybody else's opinion. She tells me she told me, I don't support war, but I support President Bush. And I'm like,
oh, please.
What?
She does support the war.
Right. She works for a defense subcontractor. Give me a break.
Hold on. She doesn't support the wars, but she supports the wars.
Yes, very yes. much. Yes.
It's so funny because, you know, she carries around this peace purse. It's this cute little black and white purse with peace signs all over it. And she has little sandals that have peace signs on the top of them. And she has blankets with peace signs that also come from Korea.
Sandals or flip-flops?
Flip-flops.
They're kind of flip-flop sandal things.
Yeah,
they're cross
like
between.
Flip-flops. You know, that's why I asked.
Whatever. you know, says the woman who doesn't apparently know shoes, but the men know shoes. What's going on here? Is this a role reversal?
No, I was making a joke that somehow went slightly over your head.
As they usually do.
Okay, you said she's, you know, supportive of the overseas interventions, but yet she has peace signs everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And she has peace signs on her sandals. So I said, are you sure they aren't flip-flops?
Because she's a flip-flopper. Actually suffers from cognitive dissonance. I mean, she thinks that she's for peace.
She doesn't suffer from it.
But
she
supports
it.
Maybe she does enjoy it. You know, and it's funny because I tried to talk to her about the war on drugs and the school system, and
I did
bring up that story because they just moved from San Antonio, Texas, to Virginia. And
San Antonio is Military City, USA.
Yes, it is. And I talked about the RFID chip implants that they're putting in the student IDs. Remember, we covered that story a few weeks ago. And she thought that was a great idea, and that, you know, well, the schools get paid per student that's in there. So they have to be able to keep track of how many students are actually on school grounds and if they are where they're supposed to be. And, you know, I vehemently disagreed with her and told her that the schools don't actually need any more money, that they get paid too much. And then she got upset with me about, you know, well, don't you think teachers should make more money? And I said, you know, most teachers, starting salaries that I've researched in Florida, specifically where I lived, their starting salary was $76,000 a year. Now, you can't live off of $76,000 a year. I mean, seriously?
Paying teachers more does not necessarily mean that they do a better job.
No,
exactly. So, Liam, tell us about some of the conversations you had with her.
Well, when we first came up, we had a conversation about the FBI headquarters being in Virginia, and I made a joke where I said maybe I should go down there and get my file, and it was a great, I thought it was hilarious, but she's like, I don't understand. She was so, I don't know, she doesn't understand, but she thought FBIs don't watch us and don't, you know, say, she believes that they secure and watch, you know, terrorism or whatever she believes in. It was just
okay, so you're going to have to tell us more about you trying to get your FBI file and what, if anything, was included in there. Tell us more about that coming up after this quick timeout here on Voluntary Values. Welcome back to Voluntary Values with Daryl, Emberly, and Liam. And Liam, during that last segment, you were telling us about jokingly stating that you wanted to go to the FBI headquarters to retrieve your file.
Yes.
And then being told that the FBI
is not watching
on protesters.
Yeah.
Despite the numerous reports put out by the federal government that state that the FBI does in fact keep tabs on anti-war protesters, and in some cases actually infiltrates the groups. And then I don't know if it happens here in the U.S., but it happens in the U.K., where they will actually have sex with people in the group to try to get further, more in-depth, intimate information.
Ooh, creepy. Ooh.
Ah, scary.
That there was one undercover some such in Britain that it was reported that he had sex with at least three women from the group that he was undercover with.
Wow.
And it was all part of his job in order to obtain more intimate information about the group.
So maybe that was like, had some kind of reference to his wife and a divorce or something like that, you know? So they were just covering his bottom because she found out that while he was undercover, he was sleeping around.
It didn't mention anything about a wife or a divorce.
But you know how it works.
True.
You know, it's that whole thin blue line kind of deal.
Yes.
You know?
Okay, so tell us more about trying to get your records from the Federal Bureau of Instigation.
Well, when I did say it, she said they didn't watch us, and she said they only watch terrorists. I'm like, okay, how do you think they find terrorists? They keep tabs on them. And I was like, well, you know, I am a protester, and I have admitted it, and don't they sometimes admit and judge that protesters are terrorists? I mean, on
terrorist.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had she and I had a discussion. Actually, I think it was in the midst of the whole school RFID thing where, you know, she was talking about terrorists. You know, that's why we have the war on this or on that. And I said, well, then technically, I guess I must be a terrorist because I fit like 5 out of the, 10 or 12 statements that they put out about domestic terrorists.
Yeah.
You know, and that most everyone fits at least 3 of them. So technically, Everyone on the planet is a domestic terrorist in one way or another.
They're putting out such vague criteria. Taking pictures of buildings.
Don't do that.
No, no.
If you have sleeping gear in your car, if you have cameras or a
camping.
Map. If you have cameras or a map. Okay.
If I have a camera or a map, what about a GPS? Is that considered domestic terrorism?
No. Because only terrorists use the fold-out maps.
Only terrorists.
Only. Okay.
Well, if you have a map,
they could have taken away my friend who actually has a map and, you know, brought it out and showed it to me and marked off all the places he's been. And I started laughing. I said, who uses maps anymore?
Terrorist.
Oh, well, and then my aunt is also a terrorist because she has a map in her glove compartment.
Right. Uh-oh. Now, it's different. Government employees are exempt from
then I wonder how she gets onto Quantico or wherever she goes to work, because I know she works on one of the bases. So how does she get on there, you know, or how does she get to Langley or wherever with a map in her glove compartment?
Well, see, if you have it concealed, then it's not easily recognizable. And they can't just rummage through your glove compartment because of that pesky Fourth Amendment.
Ha. Huh. Hmm. They really care about the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah. No.
Come on.
No.
I mean, I do believe that they... Yeah, I mean, J. Edgar Hoover, who was the head of the FBI, the creator, pretty much, I believe, of the FBI... He kept tabs on all kinds of people. He kept files on all kinds. And you can't tell me that with today's extensive use of computer, you know, databases and things like that, they don't keep tabs on people, even everyday citizens.
I read in a magazine, in Science magazines, they have a new building in Utah, if I'm correct, where they have a building just for memory, for the FBI to put memory Facebook post on people. It's like 4 billion trigabytes or something like that. I'm not sure.
Terabytes.
Yes, it's a huge building. It's 4 sectors. It's huge, and it's going to be built in 2013 or 14.
Let me guess. They're calling this computer the Beast, and it's actually going to be on a server hosted at Area 51. and then it's owned by a company that's incorporated in Delaware because Delaware isn't actually a state because one copy of the Treaty of Paris didn't list Delaware as a state when the U.S. signed the treaty to end the Civil War.
No.
Or,
oh, boy.
Not the Civil War, the American Revolutionary War.
Oh, my.
Which actually was technically a civil war between the English folk in North America and the English folk in England. And, of course, I just, like, went down this weird conspiracy theory alley that...
Way to go.
I could obviously tell that neither one of you knew at all what I was talking
about.
Was
that the blank looks on our faces or the laughter?
Both. Primarily the blank look. I've been around some conspiracy theory people, and there are some people that say, you know, Delaware's not a state because there's one copy of the Treaty of Paris that doesn't list Delaware as being part of the new sovereign United States of America.
All these trivial little things that they focus their time on. I mean,
and there are
there are better things to do with your time than go around looking at, and I'm probably going to offend some people right now, but going back and looking at silly historical documents like, oh, okay, the Treaty of Paris.
Yeah.
Might not be so silly, but, you know, picking out minute little things that, oh, Delaware wasn't listed.
On one copy.
Right, on one copy of, and they hand wrote all the copies.
Right.
So forgive me if people make mistakes. I mean, let's be realistic. Well, if there's other copies with Delaware listed, then why are you wasting your precious time on this planet worrying about that and not some of the really critical things that we need to worry about, like government spying on us?
Right.
You know, a robotic fish. Have you not heard about the robotic fish that mimic real fish? I saw it on RT today.
You mean like fishing lures?
No, like real robotic fish that mimic the exact what body movements that fish do.
Unless it's used to catch another fish, what is the
point?
But
it can only record when it's not underwater.
What is
another
the
useless,
point?
Another useless government program.
Okay, that's more useless than the freaking USB-powered pet rock that I was telling you
I
about.
I would rather
that I found
have
on
the
Shut
US...
Up and Give Me Your Money.com.
I'd rather have the USB plug-in pet rock.
How about that DVD rewinder?
That's pretty good.
That's a good one.
Some guy posted on Amazon that it saved his marriage, the DVD rewinder.
So if you know of some useless government inventions, give us a call, 603-435-1105. This is Daryl, Emberly, and Liam on Voluntary Value. Welcome back to Voluntary Values. This is Daryl.
Emberly.
Liam.
And we've been talking about FBI, and somehow we got on to the topic of useless inventions, such as the life-size robotic fish.
Which is a real thing.
That has a camera, but the camera does not work underwater.
And the fish actually does not disturb the ground of, you know, the bottom part of the ocean. So it doesn't kick up dirt and sand and things like that, like real fish do.
Right. And that's about as useless. Having a electronic robotic fish that is not used as a fishing lure, that has a camera that does not work underwater, is as useless as the USB-powered pet rock.
I would rather have the USB pet rock.
Shut up and give me your money.
Shut up and give me your money.
I spent hours on that website finding all
kinds of... Why are we
pimping
out some retarded website when we should be pimping out our website, voluntaryvalues.com? Go there.
Yeah, go there.
People listen to our show to learn about things, and they go to shutupandgivemeyourmoney.com to laugh at all the useless stuff that no one
and,
will ever buy.
You know, that's good because we really do need more laughter in the world. you know, when you turn on the news or you listen to, you know, the radio, most of the time, you know, here in New Hampshire, you know, it's difficult. I can use my lovely smartphone to listen to LRN via its app on my phone through my car stereo. But, you know, driving through several states that I've driven through the last couple of days, it's interesting to hear what's going on radio stations around the country. And, you know, people are just obsessed with negative things and yes. the negativity that goes on in the world. So it's good to just see something silly and laugh and enjoy life and remember that not everything, you know, is so dire, and that even, you know, anarchists and voluntarists take time to laugh, especially us.
Yes. And, you know, there are some people that give me a hard time because I still watch football.
What? Well, it is Why? The opiate of the masses, but I am a baseball fan, and, you know, the World Series is coming up. Go Tigers, go Cardinals.
You can't always be serious all the time.
You know, no, you need some downtime.
Yeah. You have to relax, and you have to do something that isn't emotionally draining.
Right. Constant thinking about the presidential race, or thinking about, you know, a voluntary society, or
whether or not Puerto Rico should become independent.
That's another one. Or whether they should be a state, you know, whether they should join and be the 51st state. You know, it's exhausting. And yeah. who wants to just sit around and think about that all the time? I guess there are people that want to sit around and talk about it all the time and think about it all the time. But I need laughter and drama and fun in my life. And so,
I need corny jokes. Like,
you do.
I have a really weird sense of humor.
I like beer. That's one of my favorite things.
I'm a beer snob.
Oh, snob.
I cannot drink cheap beer. I can't do it.
No PBR for you.
And I've got a nickname for what PBR stands for, but it is not radio friendly, so.
Oh, that's too bad. Too bad we don't have an R-rated show. We have a PG-rated show, I would say.
PG-13-ish.
Ish.
No, and I like having the clean show.
I do, too.
That way, hopefully, radio stations will pick up the show.
That would
possibly
be fantastic.
And then we could get even more listeners. You know, LRN is available in many formats. There are some radio stations yes. across the country that carry LRN.
And I did constantly scan the radio stations in the cities that I was in to see if I could pick up LRN. I was unsuccessful, but, you know, 13 hours in a car doesn't yeah. necessarily mean anything.
The only one that I know of in the New England area is here in Keene. I know that there's a station in Oklahoma that carries LRN on a part-time basis.
Nice. And so maybe there's some Oklahomans that have heard our show. Maybe some people in LA have actually heard our show. So, you know, people, you know, you can see us on the webcam via LRN.fm, and you can call into the show. We're live every Sunday from 3 to 5, you know, and we'd love to hear from you. So far, we haven't had a whole lot of callers call into the show except for guests, you know, and if you want to call in and talk about anything that we're talking about, or you want to introduce a new topic,
anything,
you know, we're kind of like Free Talk Live. We'll talk about anything you want to talk about without stealing their whole tagline. You know, so we're open to any discussion about any topic. You know, we want to hear from you guys. We want to know what you want to talk about as well, and what you want to hear about. What do you want us to discuss? We have, you know, the Voluntary Values Facebook page, and, you know, you can go on there and put requests up of anything that you want us to talk about, especially if there's something that's going on in your state or your city that you think is particularly egregious, and, you know, you would like some national recognition, at least on the limited format. You know, I don't know how many listeners we have, but hopefully we have quite a few, you know, that you can get it out, because LRN's available internationally. Yes. And I know people internationally listen to LRN.
If you go to LRN.fm and then click affiliates, it will show the various ways that you can listen.
Gosh, I'm so website like ridiculously uninformed.
It will let you know if there is a radio station in your area that has notified LRN that they are carrying LRN. There could be a radio station that has not notified.
And it would be really great if there were more, pirate radio stations out there carrying
yes.
LRN, the great shows that we have. So come on, all you pirate radio people.
LRN.
LRN.
You've got to drag out the R.
I came from pirate land in the Tampa Bay area. And, you know, on several occasions, every year, you could see lots of pirates everywhere.
Nice.
It's a very, very pirate-centered city.
And the pirates weren't actually the horrible people that people take them.
They just wanted to live free. They could be.
They were violent for the most part. But in a lot of ways, people don't realize that pirates were actually, in many cases, sanctioned by the governments.
Well, isn't that nice? Aren't we glad that, you know,
they were essentially mercenaries.
Well, yeah, we have those today. I mean,
Blackwater
being one of those. And,
oh, I'm sorry. They're now Z.
Oh, Z. Hey, if
it's
you guys want to see a really great
Z.
show that kind of tells you what a society would be like after war, like severe war, nuclear
Jericho.
War here in the United States. If you have Netflix, check out Jericho, which is a great show about a town of people who try to survive after a nuclear holocaust in their own country.
I have not watched Jericho, but
I should.
One of the actors in Jericho I actually went to high school with.
You did?
Clayne Crawford.
Okay.
I don't remember what character he played. I just know I went to high school with this guy. And
that's awesome.
He had a different name in high school that I don't remember. I think it was Jeremy. But then when he went to Hollywood and became big time,
he had to change his name.
He didn't have to change his name, but he changed it. I believe he took his grandfather's last name as his first name.
Oh. Well, anyway, it's a very good show. And it shows, you know, that there's still going to be a status mentality even after something like this happens, but that people can work together and form a slight variation on a voluntary society, a little bit more statist than I would like, but it's still a great show that shows you groups like the government sends in a group like Blackwater into the United States, and the violence that they perpetuate on the people is just ridiculous.
And that there are two Kevin Costner films that I think actually highlight voluntary society somewhat: Waterworld and The Postman.
I haven't seen either one of those, so I need to put those on my list of movies to watch.
And we'll talk about that, and hopefully your phone calls coming up in the last segment here on Voluntary Values.
603-435-1105.
Welcome back. This is the final segment of Voluntary Values with Daryl,
Amberly,
Liam,
and we've been talking about all kind of topics this past hour, from the FBI to robotic fish to
pet rocks
that plug into your USB port,
sports, laughter,
television shows, and the fact that we would like to hear from our listeners.
We would. I mean, I enjoy...
We're not begging for telephone calls.
I'm enjoying...
But we would like telephone
no,
calls.
No, I enjoy on the chat. You know, every week, every time I do an LRN show, I always go on the chat. So occasionally I'm on Ladies in Keene on Saturday nights, and I go on the chat and I chat with people on that show. And occasionally I do go on when FTL is on and chat with people while FTL is on. But I always do it when I'm on Voluntary Values. I'm always on the chat. Well, not constantly, but I'm on there reading what people
You're
are talking about.
You're in the chat room. You right. might not necessarily and, be active.
I love the people that are in the chat room, and they make me laugh. And sometimes they really help me out. And, you know, when I'm stumped for something, you know, like last week when we were talking about ICE, the one that's not...
Yes.
The one that's not the immigration control.
Oh, the international copyright something.
Something or other.
Yeah.
See, one week goes by and we forget
Okay, I have an excuse.
Well, I drove like 24 hours, 25 hours in like 3 days. So, you know, that's all I'm going to say on that one.
So how was the trip down to the statist land of Northern Virginia?
It was good. We left, Allie and I actually left Wednesday afternoon. And
that being Allie Havens.
Allie Havens of AllieHavens.com and the host of Ladies
Shire
and Keen.
TV.
And she's one of the
anchors
on Shire TV. She unfortunately will not be in studio tomorrow to do Shire TV. So I will be filling in as the anchor, and already just saying it makes my stomach hurt, and I don't really want to do it, but I will. And tomorrow night's going to be a really special episode where we're focusing on...
A very special episode.
Yes.
It's the
after-school special.
It's the after-school special with the very special episode.
Know your rights. So we're going to focus on knowing your rights.
So it's not the Timmy got molested episode.
It is not. That will be later on, possibly January.
That's another very special episode?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
Remember back when we were younger,
the after-school special.
And it was always, you know, like either...
That preceded something very horrifying.
Either the kid got molested by the neighbor, or they found drugs, or somebody got pregnant, and... The look on your face tells me either you had a really good thought or somebody made a really funny joke in the chat room.
Somebody made a funny joke in the chat room about Janet Napolitano.
I don't want to know. Find a happy place. Find a happy place. Find a happy place.
Poor Daryl. I think he was in love with Janet, and then something happened, a horrible breakup, and now he can't even think about her name.
No, I was... The immediate thing that we said before you mentioned Janet Reno was molestation.
Bringing back memories of your dating.
I just got this weird visual of Janet Reno working for the TSA.
It was actually Janet Napolitano, but...
Well, whatever. They're basically the same.
Oh, so it was Janet Reno that you dated. I didn't know that about you,
no.
Daryl.
Find a happy place. Blue waffle. Okay. Oh. Blueberry waffles are very tasty. And if you mix the blueberries in with the batter, then they turn blue.
Oh, God.
You can also use food coloring to do that.
Yes.
Because I have done that before.
I made purple berry muffins when I was in high school, and they were delicious.
Purple berry?
Well, they were blueberry, but I misread the... instructions, and I threw the blueberries in the blender with everything else, or the mixer with everything
Daryl,
else.
Daryl, we only have a few more minutes left in the show. What are some events that are upcoming this week in the Liberty Movement here in Keene? Anything special?
This Wednesday is UN Day.
Nice.
And
I love the UN.
There's talk about doing some civil disobedience that... involves fire and flags.
Nice.
Nothing
I'll
has unfortunately, been nailed down yet.
I'll unfortunately be working in Hooks at that day, so I won't be available to burn UN flags, but I will think about burning UN flags in my head.
And then there will also be a debate watch party Tuesday night.
Nice.
Where we will watch the only debate where alternative ideas will actually be discussed.
That's great. Yeah. So if you're in the Keene area, come out. And directly after the show at 5 o'clock is the Social Sundays event that we have at McHugh's in Keene. And lots of people show up to that. And it's always a good time. You can have, you know, some drinks and some food and chatting with other free staters and anarchists and voluntarists. You know, and talk about whatever you want and have
fun. Liberty-minded people of
exactly.
all stripes.
That's exactly it. And it's always a good time, and it happens every Sunday from 5 to about, 7:30, 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock.
It's gone as late as 9:30, 10 o'clock sometimes that I've been there.
Yeah.
It's gone pretty late. We've had a lot of people and having a lot of fun talking.
Now where it gets dark at noon, people don't really stay out as late because
that's
it just
true.
Seems like you're out so much later.
That's very, very true. So hopefully we'll see some people, a good group of people there tonight. I won't be there tonight. I just got back from my trip last night, so I've got a lot of catching up to do. I haven't done any prep for the show for Monday, which is tomorrow. So I've got to get on the ball and get that done.
And you were mentioning flex your or know your rights.
Know your rights will be what we're focusing on tomorrow on the show on Shire TV.
If you go to YouTube and search for flex your rights.
Yes.
There are a lot of good videos.
Great videos.
Such as when to not speak to police.
Ever.
Well, there are times when, you know,
speaking of that,
will tell you are today, legally required to answer this question.
Today, Liam and I walked, we decided we were going to go for a walk today, and before we stopped here at the studio, we actually went to the Old Cheshire Bridge that's right outside of downtown Keene, and we were walking across that taking pictures, and all of a sudden we were surrounded by police officers.
How dare you take pictures of a bridge?
It actually wasn't us, but at the time we didn't know. And this police officer is like pointing at me and Liam and saying, you two. And I'm looking behind me going, who is he talking to? And he yells at us that there's a boy in a blue hoodie on the ledge of the bridge and he's threatening to jump off of it and kill himself. And so we had to walk down and around the river to 101 and back up to get our car because the police wouldn't let us pass through the bridge. And as we were getting back to our car, thankfully, the boy was being escorted down by the police officers off the bridge. So he did not jump. Thank goodness he didn't. There are other ways to solve your problems besides suicide.
And there are better ways to solve a suicide situation than calling the cops.
Right. And there was like five of them.
But unfortunately, you know, no one knows who to call.
Exactly.
Got to call the cops. Like, I'm sure in a free market, there would be, you know, some set of counselors that would be on call for this sort of situation.
Which is what we should have now, because police aren't always very good at solving those kinds of problems.
Police aren't always good at dealing with people.
That's very true. That's very, very true.
You know, that's why we need the counselors, because then the counselors could talk to the people and then relay that to the cops, because you know the cops aren't good at dealing with people. I have people skills.
Well, I wonder if they arrested this young man, or did they just take him to get, you know, professional help, which is obviously what the child needs. The young man needs, he needs help.
My guess would be he was probably taken to go get the help, but also charged with some kind of crime.
Well,
because
that just
in most states it is illegal. It is illegal in most places to attempt to kill yourself.
Wow, illegal to attempt to kill yourself. So
yes.
You don't really own yourself if you can't even kill yourself.
Right.
Wow.
I used to work as hospital security in Pennsylvania, and numerous times I would see people be taken to the ER and given psych evaluations because they wanted to kill themselves.
Oh, that's too bad.
And then they were placed in mental institutions, and then after their time in the mental institution, they had jail time waiting for them.
Wow. Well, make sure you join us next week for another inspiring episode of Voluntary Values on LRN.com.
A very special episode coming up next week.
Thank you. Peace and love.